Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Time to do another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's time for Max to take the lead again.
Oh, that's exciting.
You're gonna tell me that you love your next movie.
That's not entirely true.
You could lie to me. I don't know no better yet.
Oh, okay, then. One of these movies I love.
That could be true.
That could be. So, 2001. Not a Space Odyssey.
Aww.
Jay and Silent Bob. Oh. Strike back.
As they've been known to do.
That's right. Watched this in September of 2020. It is 1 hour and 44 minutes, and it's a comedy. Directed by, you guessed it, Kevin Smith.
Who, that guy?
That guy. Starring Kevin Smith, Shannon Elizabeth, and Will Ferrell.
I love Shannon Elizabeth.
She's good. She's good in this movie. IMDb movie summary. The comic Bluntman and Chronic is based on real-life stoners Jay and Silent Bob. So when they get no compensation from a big screen adaptation, they set out on a trip to wreck the movie.
As you do.
That's right. My thoughts on this movie is it's really all over the place. I know it's supposed to be like an homage to the old two-handers like Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy.
Man, I love Abbott and Costello.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are just, they are fantastic. They can do this and it works. Like, they can go meet Frankenstein and then have an adventure in the jungle and then do Who's on First, and all of it works so
tightly. When's the last time you watched Who's on First?
Not in a long time.
I watched it yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Randomly that this connected, like,
huh.
It's amazing.
It's very good.
It's the nuances, the way they do it on stage to get, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then I went down a rabbit hole of Abbott and Costello skits.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's great. I recommend everybody do it.
Yeah. Their stuff's very funny. Like, yeah. They're so good physically. Without going over the top, like, not like when you were talking about Beverly Hills Ninja, like, they're not falling through things, but just their movements, and they're great. Very good. Same with Laurel and Hardy. Just good stuff. Good bantering, good back and forth. It all works really well, and I know that's kind of the two-hander that Smith's trying to go for with this film, where he's trying to do like that buddy, crazy, over the top movie. And it's been done. It's a formula we've seen Hollywood do for years. This one falls pretty flat, though, in my opinion.
Well, it's hard when one of them doesn't really talk.
Yeah. And the humor at this point is pretty much all references or extreme, like pretty childish jokes. Yeah. There's some ones that land, though. Like, I'm not saying I don't want anybody to think that I'm like looking down my nose at this film, because when every time Jay says he's the click commander and he's got his fingers and he's doing it, cracks me up.
Yeah, the viral video part.
Yeah, that, like, there's funny stuff in here, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not above that. And of this era, Shannon Elizabeth and Elijah Dushku is definitely, you know what I mean, like, two thumbs up for Max.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like, no problems there either. But it just, like, looking at it overall, it's just like, here's a person. Isn't that funny? Here's Carrie Fisher. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that, like, shit gets old, man.
Yeah, it does. Here's George Carlin. Isn't that funny? No, way better utilized even in Dogma. I thought he was great as the Cardinal in Dogma. But here, it's just like, you got to know the rules of the road. You give a blowjob. It's like, that's it?
Right.
Like, we're underutilizing Carlin. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not fantastic.
Jersey Girl used him better.
Yeah, then that's saying something.
Yeah.
it just doesn't work here. Not my cup of tea. It's fine. I think this is his weakest effort, though, in the View Askew universe.
I don't know that last one.
Dogma?
No, the actual last one he did.
The reboot. Yeah.
The reboot.
I think the reboot's weaker than this to me. Because the reboot is 100% references. It's got more heart than Strikes Back does.
I think the Jay story's great in that one,
yes.
The reboot. But it's so overshadowed by
a bunch of
bullshit.
BS. Yeah. Yep. I think this is this and any Jay and Silent Bob film is going to be the weakest of the lot, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I agree.
IMDb, 6.8 out of 10, which is pretty generous.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 152 critics, went back and reviewed this to 53%.
Sounds right.
Audience, 250,000 plus, love Jay and Silent Bob and gave this a 75%, which is just Christmas land over there with the audience. I am coming in below everybody at a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I might put it at a 5.
Yeah. I wouldn't fault anybody for saying they enjoyed it, but it's anybody who says that this is Kevin Smith's best movie would be gawked at.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close. Not even close.
I mean, you got to turn your brain off to enjoy it, right?
You do. My brain.
My brain. Oh, no.
Now I can put it in a robot.
Ooh, with pincher hands and little tube arms.
That's right.
Well, I got a movie.
Hmm.
It's from 2019. It's called Come to Daddy.
Oh, boy.
You hear that title? You don't know what you're in for.
No.
I watched it on March 14th of 2021. It's an hour 36. Your genre, comedy, horror, mystery. It's a weird combo you don't usually get.
No.
Directed by Ant Timpson.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's an ant.
Sure.
Starring Elijah Wood.
Hmm.
Stephen McHattie.
Yep.
And Garfield Wilson.
McHattie? Yeah, that's Pontypool and the original Night Owl in The Watchmen when they did that film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that adds up.
And you get Elijah Wood with the weird mustache in this one, right?
Yeah, he's got a... Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
It's a weird look.
Yep.
IMDb movie summary. A man in his 30s travels to a remote cabin to reconnect with his estranged father.
Okay.
That is your basic plot.
I like it.
Things get, of course, weird.
Oh, yeah. Just look at Elijah Wood in a still from this. You know, you got an idea of how weird things get.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that I feel might not flow so great as a movie, but the performances are pretty out there.
Okay.
And Elijah Wood is completely in on it.
Is it so. Wood and McHattie? Like, is that the...
They're the...
Like...
Yes and no.
Okay.
It's more... Wood, definitely more.
Okay.
For sure.
Cool.
So, there's creepy vibe the entire movie. It's very creepy.
Awesome.
The house is awesome. It's like it's like one of those things like a treehouse guy would make, like coming out of the side of the mountain.
Oh, neat. That's fun.
Awesome. The house is great. The thing is, when he goes there and he meets his father wrote to him like, hey, come see me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
So he goes. And his father's oddball.
Yeah.
And the house makes strange noises. And you're like, is there something to the noises?
Yeah.
Is it just shifting, doing weird things? Because it's a weird, unusual house.
Yeah.
And you're always like on edge when you hear some strange, you're like, that would sound like somebody dragging something
right.
or something in my house.
Absolutely.
But in this house, I don't know.
Right. Could just be shifting.
Right. Elijah Wood's character is a dork and he has many anxieties.
Hmm.
For sure. He's... Whenever you're like, I wonder what this is, like you want him to solve it, but he's so unable to, I guess.
Interesting.
He's almost like he's buying into everything 100%. He's taking everything at face value. He's not questioning anything.
Right.
Where I think just about anybody else would be like, oh, what's up with that? What's this? What's up? Things get bonkers quick and escalate to at a reasonable pace. The dad character is hard to get behind, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, why did you even call him here if you're just going to be like, eat shit, kid, the whole time he's there, and he's trying to just more or less talk to you.
Yeah.
You're just very vague about everything. Nothing makes sense.
Okay.
There are violent scenes that will happen, and they are something to be seen.
Huh.
This movie has some weird, weird moments.
Awesome.
And I don't want to spoil them. You just got to see them.
Yeah.
Some of them are violent, some of them are not, but it's kind of cool to just see somebody the caliber of an Elijah Wood go through these motions.
That's
and
cool.
some of the weird stuff that happens, and he's just fully in.
That's
he's
awesome.
Committed to this character.
He's into some weird shit, like the Spectrovision stuff that they produce and everything, very similar to like an A24, but like much smaller. And
right, and this is of that ilk.
He loves that weird art house shit, which I think is great.
Yeah,
because I also like that weird art house shit.
I love A24, so I would probably like a lot of this stuff as well.
Yeah.
This movie's just so weird. It's hard for me to describe, but you just know that when he goes out there, it seems interesting, and you want to believe that everything's going to be okay, but you're not sure.
Right.
Nothing is comforting to you. He's not investigating anything. He's just like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And you're just on edge, and it really adds to the tension.
That's cool.
The whole movie.
Nice.
So IMDb gave this a 6.0.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 103 of them, gave it an 86%.
Oh, wow.
Rotten Tomatoes audience, 75% out of less than 50 people, but you know.
Right.
I gave it a 6.
Nice.
The wife gave it a 6.5, and the mother-in-law gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
So it's all relatively in there. I think the critics were a little high on it.
Yep.
It's an interesting movie.
That's cool.
Yeah. So check that out.
Absolutely. Sounds much more interesting than Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I got an A24 movie.
Ooh, I like those.
Yeah. 2019's Uncut Gems.
Nice.
Yes. I watched this in September of 2020. It is 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it's a drama. Directed by Josh and Benny Safdie. And
great
it
name.
Stars Adam Sandler, Julia Fox, and Kevin Garnett.
Hmm.
Yeah, pretty interesting. The movie summary is a charismatic jeweler makes a high-stakes bet that could lead to the windfall of a lifetime. In a precarious high-wire act, he must balance business, family, adversaries who are on all sides of his pursuit of the ultimate win.
Interesting.
So I will give everybody a little forewarning. If you watch the trailer to try to decide if you want to watch this film, the trailer is bullshit. When I watched this trailer, I thought it was going to be like some weird heist movie. And I knew it was an A24. So I only went it like the trailer I knew wasn't really going to give the full story here. But I heard that Sandler's performance in this movie is unbelievable.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll watch the trailer. I was like, cool. It looks like a heist movie. This is not a heist movie.
Interesting.
This is a character study about the character that Sandler plays. And he fucking crushes it.
Nice.
Unbelievably good performance from him. I haven't seen a performance this powerful from him since Punch Drunk Love.
Nice.
And okay. You know I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so good. The movie's so, like, it's frenetic. The pacing, there's constantly things happening. The sound design in this movie is awesome. There's always shit happening. You can't focus. Mm-hmm. And it really helps sell Adam Sandler's character, who's all over the place. He's this high stakes jeweler in New York. So like the building has extra security to get in with cameras. You have to talk to the people before they let you in the second set of doors in order to get into the, you know what I mean, into the jewelry store. And Kevin Garnett plays himself as a basketball player, and he's looking for some kind of a piece of jewelry that can give him good luck. Nice. And Adam Sandler has character has this diamond that was an uncut gem that has like, it's worth a ton of money, and he's looking to sell it. And Kevin's like, can I borrow it so I have good luck for the game? And it ends up he does really well at the game, and like he has to get this particular piece to an auction, and Kevin Garnett's not coming back with the thing. And so there's all, but there's constantly people in the background shuffling, so you can't focus, and it makes you like nuts. You know how like you're just trying to solve a problem and like the world won't shut up?
Yeah, it won't
this,
let you.
This whole movie is that. It's awesome. Like it's so good at that. It makes you nuts.
And you're watching anxiety.
Oh, it does. And you're watching him make shitty decision after shitty decision. It's like, oh, it's so good. It is so good.
That's great.
The ending is beautiful and tragic, and it makes you feel awful, but it's like, this is, no, it's the perfect ending, but you feel wretched at the end of the movie. It's so good.
That's an A24 for you.
So good. Very impressed with this one. IMDb gives this a 7.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 339 critics give it a 91%. Audience, 10,000 people give this, and this is where the my warning about the trailer comes in, 52%, which is criminal for this film. I think people were going and expecting an action movie, and they got a character movie. And sure. I, you know how people get, we've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast, people expect one thing and they get something else. And then instead of enjoying what they have, they just get mad because they didn't have the thing they got.
This doesn't taste like steak.
Yeah. The, you ordered shrimp, sir. But I wanted a steak, though.
I wanted a steak shrimp.
Yeah. Okay. I give it a 9 out of 10. This movie is sweet.
That's cool. I'd like to check that out.
It's sure. very good.
I like weird, different performances from
You'd
him.
Like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good.
Awesome. All right, Max. We're going to close this out the only way I know how. With a movie from 1954.
Oh, good.
I like movies from 1954.
You like the 50s films.
I somebody got to go back and give them their just due.
Absolutely.
But this is one I think a lot of people are familiar with.
Hmm.
Rear Window.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's just some piece of shit movie.
I bet you the guy who made it isn't a good director.
I think he's just some fat slob.
Yeah, probably. Wears a suit, I bet.
Oh, but it's ill-fitting.
It is.
I watched this on 316.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun. It's an hour 52. Stone Cold! Stone
That's
right. Cold!
That's the
mystery
bottom line.
Thriller, directed by Alfred Hitchcock.
Never heard of him.
Starring James Stewart, Grace Kelly, and Raymond Burr.
Jimmy Stewart. Whoa. There's a guy out there.
Oh, these creepy kids looking at me.
That Simpsons gag is perfect.
It really is. He's out there again. A wheelchair-bound photographer spies on his neighbors from his apartment window and becomes convinced one of them has committed murder.
Yep.
My bullet points, classic Hitchcock, one of his best. And I believe it's Dan's favorite. I could be wrong. Dan, let me know if I'm wrong. And also, check out Double Max Mondays and see Dan and Max talk about other things, which have happened recently.
Yeah, topical nerd news.
Topical nerd news. Or just news.
Topical creams.
Oh.
Yeah.
Clear that rash up.
My body is a rash.
It's a beautiful rash. Amazing use of a static set.
I gotta tell you, this movie should win an award for most ripped off plot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, Rear Window is one of those movies when you see it, you go back and you're like, oh, my God. Like, 25% of the movies I've seen in my lifetime are Rear Window.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It sure is. For sure. Made to feel unsure of the main character since he's spying and creepy as well.
Oh, yeah. That paranoia, like he's like shut in and he's starting to get cabin fever and he's just like, he wants to get out and he's like, it's like he's just making shit up to keep himself entertained.
Right, but Hitchcock gives you just enough to create doubt where you're
it's great.
Maybe this did happen.
Yep.
You want to see what happens with all the characters, even with limited dialogue from them. Mm-hmm. People you just see, you don't really hear. What's up with that guy over there?
Yeah.
The guy playing the piano. What's he doing?
Yep.
Oh, now he's entertaining people. Well, that's nice. Really interesting use. And you feel like you're stuck with him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's you're really chewing the other scenery with the other windows and everything. It's really cool.
It's relatable because we've all done that. Like when you're somewhere, you're going to people watch, right? Like even though we're in the age of putting our heads down and playing with our phones, you're still going to, like, if you're in a crowd, you're like, looking at, oh, what's that person up to? What they doing?
What are you doing? What's your agenda?
Yeah, exactly. What's your deal, buddy?
Get it together, bro.
Yeah.
I think this is an amazing movie. I don't know if I scored it high enough. I'm a little worried.
Okay.
I'm worried that I'm going to get shit for
this. I'm going to judge you.
Okay.
All right.
Black Dynamite all over again.
It is.
Rear Window, Black Dynamite.
I know. I feel like I'm going to, this is some brutal stuff here.
Well, let me ask you, off the top of your head, where would you put this movie?
It's not my favorite Hitchcock film.
It is not mine either, which is what kind of factors in with scoring this.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Like, this feels like it's almost the, like, you talk about your micro budget scale a lot, where it's like, it almost feels unfair to put it on the same scale. Like, I have to rank Avengers Endgame and Killer Sofa.
Right.
With the same scale.
Correct.
This feels similar, where it's like you have to rank Hitchcock, who is a cinema, like, you know, he's one of the all-time heavy hitters of cinema. Or if we put Orson Welles' film or a Stanley Kubrick film, we have to gauge those the same way that we're gauging a film from Kevin Smith.
Right.
It's very different.
Huge.
And it's really, then again, that's why it's all subjective. It's a really hard ranking to give. But I'd say if I ranked Rear Window, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. I am... put at ease. IMDb gave it an 8.4.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomato critics, 78 of them. Kind of surprised more didn't go back.
Yeah.
97%.
Makes a lot of sense.
The audience, which is 100,000 plus, gave it 95%.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
Yep.
And the mother-in-law gave it a 6.
Wow.
She's hard to please.
She really is. My goodness.
She's all over the place.
Holy cow.
She loved Reservoir Dogs. She got that right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I gave it an 8. I was really hemming and hawing. At first, I think I gave it a 7.5. I'm like, no,
that's
it's better
too low,
than that.
Yeah, yep.
It's better than that, but it's not an 8.5, and it's not my favorite Hitchcock.
No.
So.
There's a lot of good Hitchcock, and there's a point where it's hard to... You get kind of this thing because, like, if you put Rear Window at a 9 and then you put something like whatever your favorite Hitchcock is, Hit Psycho or whatever it may be, all, like, what are you going to do with it? Like, you can't go up that far.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, Psycho is a great film.
Fantastic.
And it's probably my favorite Hitchcock film.
I go between a few, and I'm not going to tell you because I'm sure they'll get on here.
Yeah.
Whether you do it or I do it first.
Right. And so it's like, it's hard to judge, but then it's like you're working on such a tiny little space because it's not like any Hitchcock movie, even some of the like underseen ones like Rope and Man Who Knew Too Much. Yeah, those will still be high, but probably not as high as something like a Vertigo or a Psycho. You know what I mean? Like these like heavy hitters.
Not my favorite Hitchcock, but I really enjoyed The Birds.
Not my favorite either, but also fantastic.
I watched that when I was younger and it terrified me.
Oh, sure. That's another. Hitchcock had such a good way of taking something very commonplace.
Yeah, we've all seen Birds.
And yeah, exactly. And just like concepts like voyeurism that persists through a lot of his work. Rear Window, Psycho, Vertigo, like all those have it. But I mean, he's so good at taking something normal and just making it like, I'm going to do this, and it becomes completely terrifying. David Lynch does that really well for a more contemporary filmmaker who does that, where it's like, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to like twist it.
Crash?
Like, just a little bit. Nah, it's Cronenberg still. Just, I'm going to twist this thing just a minor amount, and now it looks completely different. It's like, well, you took something that looked amazing, and now it's terrifying. Or, like, something that's very simple I would have never thought about, and now I'm, like, completely, like, I don't know what to make of it now. It's just,
and I think there's not enough filmmakers nowadays trying to keep that tradition alive.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Do you, a lot of people take the easy way out? I mean, I would, too. I would sell out. I always preface this. I would sell out so hard and so fast for so very little.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. That's so anybody out there at all?
Yep.
We'll take sponsorships.
Yes.
So please hit us up. Scream Factory. Shout Factory. We want you.
Yeah, we want it.
Anybody. Severin. You know, we'll take that. Absolutely anybody at all. We will.
We're whores.
Yeah. We love movies. Let us watch movies.
Yeah.
Arrow. I'm looking at you.
There it is.
Everybody, just hit us up. We need it.
Like filthy whores.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it.
We love you. Bye.
Boral.